Get ready to laugh out loud with Wise and Nerdy, the show hosted by two hilarious dads who are bringing their unique blend of wit, wisdom, and nerdiness to the airwaves. From sharing hilarious anecdotes about their own experiences to giving advice on navigating the ups and downs of life, these two dads have got you covered. But that's not all. They're also obsessed with all things nerdy, from comic books and sci-fi movies to video and board games. So whether you're a fellow dad, a pop culture fanatic, or just in need of a good laugh, tune in to Wise and Nerdy and join in the fun.
Oh, yes, Wise and Nerdy. I'm Boss Daddy Charles Afar, and I'm with Exhausted Daddy Joseph R tonight. And you know what? Kurt couldn't make it. Kurt couldn't make it 2 weeks in a row. And we're so used to doing stuff live. I don't even know if I can find all the right buttons anymore, Joe. What are we going to do since Kurt can't even be bothered to show up again?
Nerds.
that sounded weak. Let's try it again. Mike, I want to hear Mike on his button say nerds.
Nerds.
See, that's a much better button. Good on you, Joe. Good on you. If we can only get more things from him, it'll be awesome. So we do have Mike Woodard on live tonight with us.
I see you guys pulled out the second best intro for my visit.
I didn't want. So, okay, Mike, you're gonna love this. I know I hadn't been up for very long, so you hadn't had a chance to probably watch it because after live, we go and polish the videos and get them put up clean. And Scott put up our Wise and Nerdy live show, and Kurt was there. And we'd done all this prep going into Dragon Con, and like, okay, you know, I've got a music bed. It's just like, so you're gonna have to do the read live. It's the first time him doing stuff live with us like that. And so, like, all right, Kurt, you got it. And the music starts playing, and about time he has the whole intro on his phone ready to read it live, and he's nervous and he wants to get it right. And about time he goes, it's Mike Woodard going, welcome to Wise and Nerdy. And I laughed so hard. I couldn't stop. I was just.
I'm not sure you know how cool that was, man.
It was. Oh, I am sure how cool that was. It was so cool. And Joe was the only one who knew it was coming. And Kurt's face. I almost peed myself at Kurt's face. So.
Kurt's a voiceover guy. And there's nothing worse than getting a voiceover guy right on the precipice of okay, and boom, it's like that one extra stair at the bottom of a staircase.
Let me turn that down. I turn that up. Okay, hold on. I messed up a setting. Now it's going crazy.
You done messed up, AA Ron.
Apparently. All right. Well, I was trying to do like a Discord where I can adjust everybody individually, and I turned off echo cancellation and it didn't work. So we're going to move on. But before we go on, now, Mike, we've known each other for a long time. He's done a lot of great work with me throughout the years. I know, Joe, you know Mike. He came to Dragon Con and we all hung out and did all that cool stuff. And since Mike, actually before Dragon Con, over the last couple of years, you've had how many strokes, Mike?
Three.
Okay. Because right before we actually hit the marker on the recording, he's like, well, my first stroke didn't kill me. Like, that's the Wise and Nerdy shirt right there. But I do want to know, do you always have purple mood light setting in your house, or is your eyesight so bad you think that's normal lighting?
No, man. I was, when I was in my 20s, it was the 80s. And that was my decade. I'm an 80s kid, even though 20s and I don't know how it all works as far as the breakdown goes.
Sure.
But pastels and neon colors and purples and stuff like that, that's my jam.
Is there a disco ball or a beaded curtain in your house?
There is not a... Well, hang on a second.
Well, I didn't mean to go look for it. Mike has left the building. He went to go look for a disco ball or a beaded curtain. So here he comes. Wait. Nope. Yep. Here he comes.
I don't even know if I'll get this to work.
Okay.
Nope, that's not it. Yes, I do have a disco ball. I just can't bring it up for you right now. I thought I'd be able to.
That's awesome, Mike. That's funny. All right.
I'll be honest with you, man. This is I've got the stereotypical bedroom studio, and I'm actually working on doing live streaming DJ sets.
Oh, nice. And,
yeah, so I'm kind of rearranging lights and stuff in my room for that. I don't know if Twitch, there are a few DJs on Twitch. There are a bunch of DJs on a streaming service called Mixcloud. Matter of fact, it's for DJs. And I'm going to stream on Kick. And there's a really big DJ community on Kick. So that's kind of what I'm doing with them.
Hey, I think you got a question for us, Mike.
It's the question of the week.
Listen to that voice coming out. That's so great. so I think we're all somewhat decent readers. Like, we enjoy reading. So the question of the week that came across my radar is, what's your favorite childhood book?
Ooh, okay.
Joe, what you got?
Sure. Ooh.
That is,
and childhood can cover young adults, you know, teenage years, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So my first thought, and I'm trying to look up what the actual book is called, because it's I know it's from the Black Cauldron series, but it's not the Black Cauldron. It's
the Black Ladle. the one before the Empty Cauldron.
Sure. Yeah.
The Firestarter. Yeah, so
I can't remember what the first one was called. And the reason why the Book of Three, that's what it was called. I'm sorry. And it's the Chronicles of Prydain. I'm sure I mispronounced that, but that's what. But my parents never really read books to me, but my older brother did. And one of the first books that I remember him reading to me is the Book of Three, which is from the Black Cauldron series. And the Black Cauldron itself got turned into a movie by Disney that a lot of people don't even realize is a Disney movie, because it's kind of out there, and it's more like in tone, it's more like Anastasia than it is what you would think of as Disney for that era. And so, yeah, it's not necessarily because I think it's the best book ever or anything like that. But as a kid, just my brother spending the time to read with me was very impactful, and it meant a lot to me. He read it to me and my younger siblings. And so, it holds a special place in my heart.
That's cool. What about you, Mike? What was your favorite childhood book?
Can I give you two books?
Yes, you can.
They both hit me at the same time, and it's two different flavors. I can't remember the author's name, and that annoys me because she's awesome. And it's actually part of a series, but A Wrinkle in Time.
Yes, Madeline.
L'Engle?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Something
super close to that, but easy to look up. But I discovered that book in my school library, and just couldn't read it enough times. I own a copy. That kind of got me into fantasy. But my science fiction itch, Have Space Suit Will Travel, Robert A. Heinlein.
Okay.
And I'm 63. I'm an old dude. So all of my early authors were Asimov and Heinlein Daberhagen, and, you know, that early group of sci-fi authors from the 50s who started out on, like, science fiction magazine, short stories.
Sure, yeah.
And Heinlein did a series of books and novels and stories for kids, young boys. And this was one of those. And the thing that I loved about it the most is, anytime technical information came up in the story, it was accurate. It wasn't ballparked or generalized or anything like that. Heinlein was very big about when you're young, you should learn math. So he put math in his books.
All right.
And made his characters talk about if you don't understand at least the basics of math, then, you know, you're not communicating as effectively as you ought. and stuff like that. I took away a bunch of lessons from Heinlein, but that first book was hooked me in, and I spent the next 10 years following up on everything he wrote.
Nice. With the Wrinkle in Time, I read that as a youth as well. And I just remember the chapter, I think it's chapter 3 even, but the chapter called The Happy Medium. It took me forever as a kid to figure out what that pun was for the whole thing. Yeah. So it was fun book. Mine was in my teenage years. A friend of mine bought a paperback book for me for my birthday. I could not tell you. Joe's going to Google it, I'm sure, to see the author. I couldn't tell you the author right now. But it's called Einstein's Dreams. And it was just his plain cover, gold, mostly gold with like black on it. And it was just, that's what it's called. And my friend said, hey, I saw this at the bookstore and I was flipping through. I think you'll like it. And I think it's 10 or 12 short stories. And because they're not really chapters, although they kind of are, but they're really short stories of Einstein, fictional, of course. But when Einstein worked at the patent office before he landed on, there you go, Einstein's Dreams by Alan Lightman. See, Joe's great at Google. He's such a good producer. I'm glad I have him on here to host my show with me. but here's the thing about it. So Einstein is young. He hasn't quite landed on the theory of gravity yet as we know it. And every day at the patent office, either he gets off or he goes eats lunch. I think it might be his lunch break. I don't remember. But he goes and eats a short lunch and falls asleep under this tree. And then the rest of the story in each section is his dream about what gravity can be. And it is fascinating. It is amazingly cool, the different ideas. One of the theories was that the closer to Earth you get, the slower time is, and the higher away from it, the faster time is. Also, gravity is a physical point. So like parents who had kids that were terminal were moving towards that point to slow down time. And I mean, just so many fascinating different ideas of how gravity and time could work together, and maybe alternate realities or that kind of things. It was really, really cool. And I enjoyed that one. And I think something hopefully all three of us experienced at some point was those either records or cassettes where it read the book to you and it made the sound and you turned the page. I love that. I love that one. All right. Let's see.
Roll that dice.
What's that, Kurt?
While we're on the subject of books, can I give you guys a recommendation?
Yeah, here it is.
Okay. It's two books. John Scalzi. And they're the, oh, darn it. I can't remember the name of the two books together. I think it's Locked In. But all it is there's a variation of the flu bug. This is pre-pandemic, by the way, this book was written. But it was a variation of the flu bug that it messed with your neurons and your nervous system and completely disconnected your brain from the rest of your body.
Interesting.
And that's, they call it Locked In Syndrome.
Unlocked, an oral history of Hayden Syndrome.
Yeah, thank you. There you go. And then the book is about, the hero is a police detective. So, and that's not the interesting thing about the story. It's the guy who is the police detective. Anyway, John Scalzi, I'm following up on him. He wrote Red Shirts and, bunch of other really funny nerd-centric fiction. It's really good.
I knew Mike was a voracious reader.
Roll that dice.
What you got, Joe?
What are you nerding out about now?
Oh, we're going to the meat. We're not even going to do appetizers or drinks or just small talk. We're going right to the meat of the show.
The dice picked it.
All right, Joe. Well, you're first in line. You know, because I don't know how you got it. You showed up last. So somebody got first in line. What you got, Joe?
Because you left a blank spot. So this past week, you, me, and a wonderful, wonderful listener named Civilian on Bass played some Gauntlet. I keep wanting to say Gauntlet Legacy, but that's the Nintendo 64 one. It's Slayer Edition, I think is what it's called. And actually, Gauntlet Legends is the Nintendo 64 edition. Anyway, I downloaded Gauntlet Slayer Edition specifically because of my love for the Nintendo 64 version. And on Tuesday, usually it's the first Tuesday of each month, we try to play something together. And if people want to join us, great. If it's possible, like the last couple of times we played Portal 2, which is only two players, so viewers couldn't join in, but Civilian joined us, and it was a ton of fun. And it just made me like it's very, very different from the Gauntlet Legends, but it just made me super nostalgic for playing Gauntlet Legends as a teenager with my siblings and having fun with that. It also made me think of what a scam the arcade version was, because you pay your money in and it's like every second your health depletes. So you constantly have to get health in the game in order to keep playing, or, you know, pony up more money to the arcade. But yeah, a lot of fun. Great game.
I have many, many nights of drunken Gauntlet play with friends. There was an arcade table at the club we used to go to, and we would spill drinks on this machine and use it at each other and play it all night long.
I don't remember playing a ton in the arcade on Gauntlet, but I definitely played. I think I played the N64 version, and then there was some kind of reissue of it on the Xbox, and my wife and I played that together and really enjoyed it a lot. And so, yeah, I have this. Actually, Joe gave it to me on Steam. That's why I have to keep him as a host for another year. But that's okay. but, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Let's see. What's the next? Oh, yeah. Squid Game, the challenge. I always like to have what I call dumb TV to watch. Like when I'm trying to focus on something that's boring, that won't capture my brain, like putting together spreadsheets and numbers and stuff for work, I need something. I like watching Below Deck, but I only watch one style at a time. So I'm watching Below Deck Mediterranean, and I'm all caught up. It's a week-to-week show. I'm all caught up. But it's something I don't have to focus on, but I can catch something. It entertains me a little bit. So in the meantime, I found I did enjoy the TV show The Squid Games, and it's really good. Usually I avoid stuff where the world hypes it, and of course it came out during COVID and the world went nuts over it, but I was like, I got nothing else to watch. Let me check it out. And it lives up to the hype. It's really good. So this is an American-based show. That's a competition where they started with 400 and something people, just like the Squid Games, to compete for, I think, $4.6 million is what somebody's going to walk away with. And every time somebody gets eliminated, they started at a base rate of like $2.2 million or something. And every time a player gets eliminated, they drop another $10,000 into the big clear piggy bank that's in the dorm. And it's actually entertaining enough if you like kind of popcorn TV. Yes, Tiger King lived up to the hype. Sort of geeked him. Our number one fan, Sort of Geeked Him, is in here hassling us. The first Tiger King lived up to the hype. If you like train wrecks and watching people. But yeah, I mean, it's fun, dumb TV, the challenge. Exactly what it sounds like. A bunch of people compete in mainly Squid Game games. They did change it up on them at a certain point and made it more interesting. And of course, they're not actually getting shot to die, which is what the actual Squid Game is about. They do get shot with black paintballs, though, to signify their death. And it's fun to watch. It's a lot of fun to watch.
And what's that on? Is it on Netflix?
Netflix. That is on Netflix. It's Netflix original. And this time Netflix isn't going to get in trouble for it, because the whole thing about Squid Games is no windows and locked away and isolated from the world and all this other stuff. And you don't have any idea what time it is. They got in trouble for that with Love is Blind, I think was their show, where men and women live in dorms separately and they don't see each other. They talk through a wall to date. But a lot of stories have come out from that where they're actually suing the production companies there because they were kept... You know, they were encouraged to drink lots of alcohol. They were kept away from sunlight and windows, had no time of day or night. And turned out to be a lot of bad production stuff for them. But in this case, Squid Games, that's part of the game, is to not know what's going on in the world. So, and to be separated. So, yeah, that's my thing. Now, I asked Mike ahead of time to ask him what he was nerding out about. And Mikey said, video entertainment in general, you're just loving all levels of video entertainment.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure. Since we mentioned that, in the back of my head, I've been trying to think of the most effective way to say this, and I'm not going to do it justice, so I'll just do the best I can. I'll reference my age again. I'm 63. And when I first started watching TV, my earliest memories of TV, black and white.
Yeah.
And I mean, that might have been the year they changed to color, because I don't remember much of it. But, you know, my formative years were Dick Van Dyke and Carol Burnett and Mary Tyler Moore and, you know, three different variety shows every week on one network or the next. And then heading into the late 70s and early 80s, started to get more sci-fi on TV. And so things like, have either of you guys seen the original television Spider-Man show?
Yes, I did when I was a kid.
Okay.
Okay, Joe, honestly, search it on YouTube. I think you and your kids will enjoy it because it's 70s. It's 1,000% practical effects. We know you're going to go, oh my God, it's so cheesy, but I think your kids will enjoy it.
Wholesome as you could want. And you know, this version of Peter Parker is very, no need to go into it. I was veering off. Yeah, bottom line is, though, the show is almost unwatchable today.
Yeah.
I will admit that. Go back and try and watch anything from the 70s that you loved as a kid, and it's really hard. We live in the future. I know that's not as true for you guys as it is for me.
I'm with you.
The quality of the entertainment and the level that has reached these days is insane. And, I have, back when we were all doing Breaking the Panel.
Yes.
Anytime we would get into the arena of a review, I had a hard time with that because you guys would approach it from, again, I'm not doing justice the way I want to. The bottom line is I have so much bad television in my history.
I gotcha.
I am very forgiving of today's entertainment. I acknowledge that. Okay. So something that you guys might look at and go, oh, wow, that was a piece of crap. I'll look at and go, that was the most amazing thing I've seen in forever, because I'm focusing on the costumes and the special effects and things like that. The story is almost secondary for me these days.
I get that.
Stranger Things would be a really good example of what I'm talking about. That is the kind of show that they would have tried to do back in the 70s. And they wouldn't have done a very good job. It would have been fine for everybody watching back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. But what they were able to do today, I just find it amazing. And every now and then I sit my butt down in front of the computer and just make an effort to find something that I'm not actively watching right now, something I may not know about, because I've got a problem of excess these days. There's too much good stuff out there. And you know, there are plenty of people who will tell you what to watch. Go browse YouTube. There are thousands of people who will tell you the 10 best fill in the blanks on the internet. But take the three or four off that list that you actually like, and it's worth it to you to do the research for your entertainment, I guess, is all I want.
Absolutely, Mike. And along those lines, something else I'm nerding out about right now is a show that I've been on twice now is Wait, You Haven't Seen? ? And it's a podcast not telling you what to watch. It's a podcast where at least one person on the show hasn't seen the movie that's being discussed. And it's hosted by TV's Travis. And normally, Oh, it's a brilliant concept. He's amazing at it. And TV's Travis normally picks the film and has this guest come on. Somehow, when I first made my way on, I'm like, hey, you said you wanted a guest. I want to be on your show. Have me on. You know, forced my way on the show. Somehow, you know, as we're talking back and forth about movies, I suggested The Relic. And a list of things. So I guess the first four that he suggested I already seen. It's like, well, I've seen those. What about these? And he hadn't seen The Relic. So we watched it and he loved it. And we had a great time talking about sharing our love of monster films and all the monsters. And you want to talk about not caring about a story, Mike, because it's so beautiful. The Godzilla films and now the TV show on Apple TV. Side note, right? I'll get back to what you haven't seen. But Monarch, I was caught up. Hopefully I'm behind now because I was binge watching it and I didn't realize it was week to week. So I got to the spot and had to stop. The story is just kind of light so far. Still, and even four episodes in, it's still kind of setting up what Monarch was and where it's supposed to go. But the monsters are amazing. I just sitting there just like a kid, man, watching it. So anyway, so TV's Travis and I share that love of monsters. So The Relic, he had never seen it, really hit home. Great 90s film. We loved it. I was just on this past Sunday. And again, I forget why we're going back and forth, but I threw out three Ryan Reynolds films, but this one in specific that I was like, man, I couldn't remember the name of it, but I'm looking at IMDb. I think it's this one, but I remember it being like existential and metaphysical and something to do with multiple lives. It is called The Nines. And you can hear TV's Travis and I break that down. He hadn't seen that either. It's an independent film. And man, it was just an amazing film, and you know, I bought it to watch it again. He hadn't seen it, so I've got one more episode coming up in the new year for sure that I'm going to do the trifecta. I'm bringing another movie to him that he hadn't seen, and I was like, but at some point, TV's Travis, you're going to have to find a movie I haven't seen, man. Come on. But it's a lot of fun, and I'm not a horror guy. So, Joe, the month of October, they did a horror takeover, right? And it's once a week. So every week's episode was one horror film. And he does a show called Gore where they talk about horror films. So his co-hosts are on there. I have never seen Killer Clowns from Space. I'm never going to see it. I'm just not a horror guy, and I'm never going to see it. However, I listened to their episode of it. I got everything I needed to get out of it to enjoy it and see why people enjoy it.
Can I just give me 2 seconds?
All right.
All I'm saying is that movie is so ridiculous. You should watch it. I know you're not interested. You just told me. But if there's anything in what I'm saying right now on a night when you're bored and you got nothing going on, if you can find it, it will fill your evening with joy. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I don't know why you brought this up, Joe. I think about a movie called Cube, 1997, which I actually did watch that. definitely not family friendly, but what made you think of that?
Just random movies that we were talking about, like low budget stuff. You brought up horror and the two things
low budget
into,
and The Cube.
Into The Cube. Yeah. Actually, I guess it's just Cube.
Is it?
But okay. I talked about this with my brother a couple of weeks back as well, and he's like, yeah, no, I think about that movie way more often than,
you know,
than I really ought to.
I read, before I saw that movie, the only reason I watched that movie is because I don't remember the name of a book I read. It was a young adult book in high school. And it was basically that, but it was teenagers and it was messing with, and it's more lights based to go to different rooms and be tortured. And one kid makes it alive. But it's this red light, green light kind of thing. And they took that idea and turned it into what The Cube is, which is, The Cube is much more horror based and less psychological thriller. But I loved the book, which I'm not so much I remember the stupid title, but you know.
I mean, a lot of The Cube is psychological thriller, but yeah, it's these people that wake up in basically a prison that it's a cube, and the cube, the rooms in the cube shift every
I guess
so often.
The book's not quite as graphic because you're right. It's psychological. But yeah. They shift and you have to survive. It's crazy. And and the reason I put on the notes 3 of 24 is because I set a goal for myself this year to have 24 speaking engagements before the end of 2024. And already coming out of 23, I'm at 3 in. Being on Wait You Haven't Seen was number 3. I've already got like 2 engagements lined up for sure for a conference. I've got another 2 conferences that are probably going to hopefully pick me up for 3 or 4 sessions. I'm already on a roll, man, and it's great to hit those goals. So I want to share that with everybody. You know, I don't do New Year, New Me. I do it in the time that it hits right, and I did. I set that goal mid to late October, I think it was, and I've already hit 3 out of 24, so I am very happy with that.
Roll that dice.
All right, Mike, fine. We'll roll the dice.
We already did number 1.
Let in your Daddy pants. Decide. All right, I believe that's a how do I.
It is how do I.
Live without you. Mike Wooder.
I want to know.
How do I get a career in radio?
Wow. All right. I tell you what. I'm going to be honest with you guys. This is a story that I've only told maybe 3 or 4 people. But I can only give you an example of how I got into radio.
Hey, absolutely.
I'll give you a part A, part B. Part A is short. Part A, go to school. Not like, a lot of people telling you to go to school these days.
Like that's radio school or?
But yeah, go to radio school or study broadcasting in college. That's the legit way. That's the way that you should do it. And that is the right way. The way I did it, I lied.
Now, as he sets this up, the reason I brought it up and asked him is because I asked him what his favorite job was, and how many years in radio did you end up working off of a lie?
18.
So how did you? Years. How did what? I cannot imagine even young Mike not having much of a different voice than this Mike. You know, I don't think your voice has changed that much. How would you have to lie to get into radio with a voice like yours?
This might be long, so if I'm going too long, feel free to cut me off and I'll swear. Wait. Ever since...
That's your cutoff sound. If you hear that...
Wrap it up.
There you go. Okay.
When I was in high school, I got into drama and speech and music. I had teachers who cared enough about a nerdy little kid who didn't talk to anybody in the back of the room, so they sucked me into these classes. And I loved them so much. I wanted to do drama, speech, or music for the rest of my life. But I had enough sense in my head at 17 years old to know that it's hard to make a living that way. So I joined the Air Force instead and spent 10 years, did majorly cool things, went to really great places. And at the end of that 10 years, I came back home, Bullhead City, Arizona. And I was a security policeman in the Air Force. So my first gig when I got home, I was a casino security guard. Hated it. No shade on the casino, no shade on the job. It's just that job's not for me. All right. That's why I only did it for 10 years in the Air Force. Now, one night, I'm sitting in the employee parking lot guarding the employee cars. And I'm listening to the radio. And there was a local station, a gentleman whose name I won't give out because it turns out he was a hell of a guy.
Okay.
But really, really bad disc jockey. Like the average person would listen to this and just go, how?
I don't know why they were on the air. How?
It was like that. Well, turns out he was a salesman who convinced one of his clients to only spend money if he hosted the show. So he got 3 hours on Sunday night on this little radio station. And I remember sitting up in that parking lot at 11 o'clock at night going, well, if this guy can do it.
Right.
And so the following Monday morning, I walked into that radio station and applied for work. And as I'm filling out the paperwork, I just figured I'd leave it and go away and never hear anything. The general manager of the station comes out of her office and asks me to come in and starts asking me questions. Now, I had been into radio since I was a little kid.
Okay.
Used to hang out at the local radio station here in town while I was in high school. The jocks and the owner were kind enough to let me just sit in the studio and watch. So I learned a bunch of terminology that way. And then while I was in the Air Force, I had a chance to go and visit two different Armed Forces radio installations and spend time and hang out and try and learn. I tried to get into those career fields, but couldn't make it happen.
You did what every good hustler should do, is you still absorbed and you stayed around it and you listened and learned.
Yeah. It just, you absorb what you love. You know? And I had no plan. There was nothing planned here.
So you're in her office.
Yeah. So sitting in her office and she's asking me questions about my radio Air Force career, because that's what I told them my experience was.
That was a lie. Got you. All right.
Nothing on your discharge says what you do in the Air Force.
Okay.
So I was able to convince Rusty Barrett was her name. God love that woman. Anyway, she lost her overnight DJ the night before. He literally walked off the gig halfway through his shift.
Oh, no.
So it was all timing. It was nothing clever or interesting on my part. I just literally, guys, I walked in there at the right moment.
And because you had spent all that time before, which asked you questions, even though you hadn't really done that as a job, you had enough knowledge to at least fake your way into figuring it out.
Exactly. I had a set of tools that I could use that first night. It was weird and scary, and I would love to go back and relive that first night 100 times. I was lucky enough to meet a guy there at the radio station, a young dude right out of broadcasting school, maybe about 5 or 10 years younger than me. But he and I connected, and what I wasn't able to pick up, he taught me.
Nice.
His name is Jeff Allen. Good dude. So anyway, from there, it was just tap dancing, guys. Anytime I had to do something I didn't know how to do, I just did the best I could and got through it. And it resulted in management positions at the radio station. I did 3 different morning shows for a year. I was program director for 2 of the stations in the company's group. By the end of the, it was just so much fun. I can't even tell.
That sounds awesome, Mike. And what other than staying in school, I'm sure you've mentored people getting into it. Have you ever seen somebody go from like without school, but without lying, even come in after you and you mentored them?
That happens all the time. My best example of that isn't actually with the radio station, though. Through the radio station, I got club DJ gigs over in Laughlin, Nevada, part of the community area down here. There are 6 casinos, and 4 of them have nightclubs, and I've worked in 2 of those nightclubs. I spent about 12, 14 years doing that. But it's as hard to be a club DJ as it is to be a radio DJ for different reasons, but it's equally true. So I'm going to substitute.
Okay.
The young dude came in and just started hanging out by the booth, and amazingly enough, not annoying. Because nightclub, drunks, anybody interested in checking out what I did was usually drunk and spilling things.
Sure.
He'd come in and spend the whole night sitting right next to the booth. He would buy a couple Cokes, maybe. He'd not drink, not party, but he would watch me and ask intelligent questions. And after 3, 4, 5 weeks of this, the guy that I had who was covering my days off bailed on me. And I needed somebody. So the next night, this young man came in. I asked him if he was interested, and he's like, oh, my God, yes, I didn't know how to ask you. And I'm like, cool, be here tomorrow at 6 p.m. And, you know, so he literally knew nothing other than what he was watching and asking questions about. And I taught him the job.
Nice.
And that was interesting. I you learn a lot being a mentor.
You do, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that makes any sense. It's, well, you know what? Being a mentor is the finest way to reinforce the basics of what you do.
There you go.
There for you your go. Stuff, and not just for who you're trying to teach. So, and he turned out to be basically a lifelong friend of mine. I still talk to the guy. This was the 90s that I'm talking about.
Yeah, his name was Casey Kasem.
Keep your head in the clouds and your feet up your butt.
He it was Moby. He discovered Moby. Mike taught Moby how to do his thing.
But so that's the nightclub DJ thing. I met a lot of cool people. I was covering for bands on their breaks most of the time, and so met a lot of musicians. So
nice,
fun gigs, both of them.
Nice. Now, before we roll that dice, Joe, there's a speak pipe that I have a question mark about. What is this? It's like you hit. Exactly right. It's like he set the offset for the reverb too much. It's like one kid, two kids, three kids. So what is this?
So tonight at dinner, we were like, the boys were like, "Oh, what are you guys recording tonight?" Because they were wondering if we were recording a game.
Sure, and yeah.
I was like, no, we're recording the podcast tonight. It's Thursday night. I'm recording with Charles. And so all of a sudden, all three of them were just like, Charles. They kept going on and on. Oh, you're recording with Charles. And so they wanted to record themselves just saying, Charles.
All right, well, we have a new button now, and that works. Let's roll that dice.
Stay tuned for this commercial break.
You didn't even give Mike a chance. All right, Mike. All right.
It's all good. You know what? I feel bad about Kurt. Kurt is internet free right now. That's the only reason I'm here and he's not.
That's so, not true. I told you I was going to invite you this week anyway. We said no, he was not coming. But all right, so here's this commercial thing. Now, let's see. You are a voiceover guy. Kurt's a voiceover guy. But you're also a live DJ. Kurt tends to mess this one up quite often. But I'm going to play some music, and you're going to hit me with... Yeah.
I need a script. Whatever it
you
is.
You can't ask for a script now. You asked for a script before we get started. It's go time now. Come on, baby. Here's what you're going to say. You're going to say, donate to your daddies.
To your daddy. Patreon.com/wiseinnerdy.
All right. All right, you ready? No, Joe, not you. It's your turn, Mike.
Donate to your daddy. My brain doesn't work. I literally can't remember the last time you just told me to.
Don't worry about it.
Patreon.com/wise_in_nerdy.
Oh, look, he's here, Mike. There was your musical interlude there for our commercial break. If you want to have your voice on the show, like these existential rugrats.
Daddy and leave a voicemail. wiseandnerdy.com/call.
With you, Joe, it's always a train wreck.
You need to, I don't know if it'd be a copyright issue, but you need to put that bounce, bounce, bounce. Music behind that particular bumper right there.
Usually, you know,
Marvin Gaye, "Let's Get It On."
I don't think I want to put "Let's Get It On" underneath Kurt. That makes me me feel weird.
That is just a family program. I understand.
Good daddy.
Well, he likes you, Mike. He said, "Good daddy."
Thank you.
Roll that dice.
What do you love?
All right.
So, that's not what it is anymore.
I know. So, Joe, if we can get a list of these things sent to him and sent to Mike, they'll record some competing voiceovers to update for the new year. We'll get that taken care of. What?
Yeah, just send me the words.
Yeah. See, Joe, we just send him the words. Why are you so mad at Mike for? I mean, stop picking on Mike. I mean, at least he showed up, right? What do you think about gatekeeping versus inclusion? And I'm going to give you a very petty example. Okay. Now, Joe, would you, in the world of fandom, count me as a person as a gatekeeper or somebody who likes to include people?
Yes.
What? You say yes. It's one or the other.
Yeah, in general, I would say inclusion.
Thank you, because I know that's the answer. Except.
I have to input. With Charles, it's not inclusion. It's being drug kicking and screaming. Charles knows what's good for you, whether you know it or not. And there have been one or two instances where Charles has been like, hey, Mike, come here. And practically life-changing moments. But continue.
Speaking of, they're talking about one more season of Supernatural, by the way. Yeah, I'm happy with that. So, yes. Thank you, Mike. I am inclusive, even if I have to drag you kicking and screaming into it. Except every once in a while. And I got this TikTok ad tonight, and it's so petty. It is so petty. It's I should open my email because now it's spamming me ads because I was doing some research on it. It's a cork circle, something. I don't remember. But it's this thing about Marvel. They do these stupid tumblers, like metal drinking bottles and stemless wine glasses that are metal. But they got this deal with Marvel. And, you know, and on the screen, it just has the basic picture of it all. And I see the screen like, oh, do they have the Hulk? So here's two things that I want to be gatekeepers. I don't go shop at these morons. I hate them. And here's why. Number one, it's just a plain stupid water bottle that they painted green and the cap is purple. And that's it. That's it. It's the Hulk. It says it's the Hulk. But it's just, here's why I'm mad about it, Joe. They have 10 other versions of this water bottle with Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Iron Man, Spider-Man. Those have designs. Those look cool. Even the Loki one with green and gold has like designs and cool textures. Hulk is just a green and that's it.
Okay, but what would you have done?
I would have put textures or something if you're going to do that. I would have put black hair. I would have black hair. Yes, I would have put abs on it. Yes. Anything but just, it's just a green bottle. You could have gotten that from freaking Aldi's and now you're turning around selling that for $30. No, sir. And secondly, the guy in the ad, this turned me into a gatekeeper for this reason alone. He's like, oh, they got a great deal with Marvel and this and that. And they have all the classics like Spider-Man Morales. And I was like, no. Spider-Man Morales, he's awesome, but he's not a classic. Hulk is the classic. So what is your example of when you're a gatekeeper, Joe or Mike?
I need to grab that audio afterwards and have that on some button. Hulk is a classic.
Miles Morales came around in the 90s. That's not classic.
I would venture to say that for some young dudes out there.
Oh, I'm about to kick you off the show, Mike. No. You're Team Charles. You're Team Charles.
Haven't you ever heard the term instant classic?
He's been around long enough that there's some young little dudes out there. But anyway.
When you say the classics are the founders, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Hulk.
I get you.
Right? Nothing is Morales. I think he's great. I love the characters that I've seen played of him. Yeah, I'd love to see a live action Miles Morales. But And when they do my Hulk so dirty, that's like, all right, Joe, stop letting me rant. What's your gatekeeping? Because we know we can obviously but, inclusion is
but
important.
But you're so good at ranting. I love it.
I got to keep my blood pressure at a certain level because you're still going to tell me a joke later. Mike, gatekeeping versus inclusion. Am I wrong for this to say they're pieces of crap for how they did my Hulk?
Your reaction is a little extreme, but you're not wrong.
You don't have to buy it.
Oh, I'm not gonna.
This comes down. I'm gonna take a direction. I was kind of wanting to go with the quality of merchandise that we get to buy these days is really low in some spots, but I'm not gonna go there. I'm gonna focus on the definition of classic, because no matter who you are, if you've given any thought to what that word means, it means different things to you, Charles, than it does to you, Joe, and for me, the same. But I understand what you're saying. Iron Man, Captain America, Spidey, Doc Strange, the Hulk, Ant-Man and the Wasp. These were the front line of Marvel. I've forgotten a bunch, but you know, the first lineup of the Avengers is as classic as it gets.
Classic and should be like instantly recognizable. I mean, I recognize, even though I knew it was going to be a piece of junk, I saw the green and the purple went, that better be Hulk.
Yeah. Now, is there a trend toward minimalism that I've missed out on? Or because this is
so small, you wouldn't notice.
I missed it.
I said it's so small, you wouldn't notice.
But at least if you buy them all, the Hulk one is the biggest.
No, Joe.
But what I mean is, you know, seeing a color scheme, you know, seeing three colors and knowing that that's supposed to represent the Hulk. Or that just seems weird and I don't like it. It's too minimal.
I'm 100% with you there. And you know what? I am going to share my screen with the world here. I absolutely just went into my email and one of the Google ads was for his Corksicle, and that's Corksicle.
It's only like $55. And if you buy one, you get one.
Joe, I'm going to drive to your house and throw a Slurpee in your face. All right, so here it is. Look at this. Spider-Man, look at that texture. Look at that texture between the webbing. Let's go. Oh, nope, there's Miles Morales Spider-Man, black with red webbing.
Your favorite.
Let's go with pink. That's Spider-Gwen. Oh, look, green and gold with textures. That's okay. Look how much gold with the green there is. Look at it. Yeah. Look at it.
Okay, that's exactly the thing I'm complaining about, is this sort of minimal.
Yeah.
Or minimalist design.
Exactly.
Choice.
But you can look at Captain Marvel's her whole thing. Captain America, not just a shield. If you can't see it in the video, it's there. There's a lot of amazing little subtle textures. Looks really cool. And Hulk. Plain, smooth green with a stupid purple top.
That's what they're doing. They're, you know, it's iconography. I don't know.
Look, it's bigger.
It's 60 ounces. It's 60 ounces instead of 20 ounces.
Purple H on that bottle or something.
See, 60 ounces instead of 20. You put the purple on the bottom
with the edges for the torn shorts. You put black ash hair at the top. Oh my God. And yes, Joe, we hear you. It is 60 ounces.
Clearly, they should have drawn some biceps on each side.
Clearly. But don't.
Or you know what? A comic book speech bubble that says puny god.
Yes, something. So I'm not a gatekeeper.
I understand what they're doing and I don't like it. It's that was a choice. That wasn't a mistake. You know what I mean?
Yes. You know, I'm not a gatekeeper, but there's certain little things that I don't even see coming that just trigger me, make me. Let's roll that dice, Joe.
Okay.
Hulk roll.
Oh, man. man.
Bad dad jokes.
It's your favorite, Charles. Tonight comes to us from DevoSite.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call a bad dad joke that Charles dislikes?
You're laughing already too hard. No.
All of you.
Both of you are butt hats right now. Mike says all of them, and yours was funny. And both of you, well, okay, Mike, you're technically correct. Correct. I don't like any dad jokes whatsoever. Devo. He did that SCP thing for me, turned me into this monster in this world. It's amazing. And then he stabbed me in the back. Yeah, it is cool, Mike. It was pretty nifty. Devo might have to be banned for
weeks. Yeah, which we read out at the end of one of our episodes for the patrons.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/wiseandnerdy.
Devo. I was in there wanting to think of a bad dad joke for Charles. I don't know. All right. So that leads us into Daddy Tell Me a Story. And Joe chose to tell the legend of the American Banhammer.
It's true. I was known as Merrick Banhammer back in those days. Back in the day. So once upon a time.
Why are you crying already, dude? It's not that emotional of a story.
No. I had some tears from how funny that dad joke was.
You're such a betrayer.
Back. Back in the day, I was a moderator for the League of Legends subreddit. Back in college, I played a lot of League of Legends, probably more than I ought to have. But while I was a moderator, I definitely banned a lot of people who were breaking the rules. And so the other moderators called me Banhammer. Now, we did warn people before we banned them to cut it out. So, you know, there's that. We had some controversies that popped up while I was a moderator.
Was somebody cheating by putting the wrong engine in their NASCAR? Is that what happened in your moderation? No? Okay.
No, that wrong story. Wrong story. Oh, no, this one has nothing to do with Grandpa NASCAR. So while I was a moderator, I was asked to sign an NDA with Riot Games. So Riot Games is the company that makes League of Legends. And that was solely because we were in a Skype chat with them and they would tell us when the servers were down. And they were worried that some of their employees might say something they ought not to. And so they just wanted us to sign an NDA to cover just in case they blabbed.
Absolutely leaked something. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so, because we had a banner at the time on our subreddit that would say, hey, the servers are experiencing issues. Riot is on top of it, just as an FYI thing. And so that was the sole reason that we had that channel. And that's the sole reason we signed the NDA. But a lot of people in the subreddit are like, oh, you guys are shills for Riot Games, blah, 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 blah. It also didn't help that one of the employees at Riot Games, as just a kind gesture, decided to take some of the extra swag from one of their events and give it out to the moderators.
So it looks like you're being bought off.
Yeah. And so actually behind me, I'll grab it just one second. This.
I'm the only one who hasn't walked away from the show tonight, by the way, everybody.
That's right. You're
keeping track.
So this Teemo hat is one of the things that they sent to us. They sent us this and a poster and like one other thing. I think it was a lanyard. And so people are all up in arms. Oh, they're buying off the moderators and whatnot. And so like, A lot of the moderators just refused to talk about it at all. And so we had a second subreddit for specifically for requesting help for the moderators and things like that, or criticisms or anything like that. And so in that subreddit, I was like, look, ask me whatever you want and I'll talk about it. I don't care. And so I talked about it. I said, this is what they gave us. This is why they gave it to us. It has never influenced any of my decisions on what to, on content to remove or people to ban. And like Riot never asked us to ban anybody. They never asked us to remove content. All they ever did was communicate when the servers were having issues. But people were up in arms, and one of those people that was up in arms was an esports journalist by the name of Richard Lewis.
Right. The comedian from the '80s.
No. I don't know what else he's ever done. He's just an esports journalist as far as I know.
So he's a blogger with a microphone. Got it.
Well, so he was, I can't remember which company it was with, but he was writing articles for a company. Like, it wasn't just a blog or anything. But he had he especially had a vendetta against us because a few of his things broke the rules and got removed. And if your post made it to the top of our subreddit, that meant millions of clicks on your website. So from a financial standpoint, it made a lot of sense that he would get mad that it came down, but that wasn't anything we considered. Broke the rules, it went away.
Yeah.
But he took it very personally, to the point where at one point we were trying to get new moderators and he had one of his friends go undercover as a moderator. And so he got in the channel that we had with Riot Games and was taking all kinds of screenshots and whatnot and trying to expose us. And because it was on Skype, a lot of that.
So it violated NDA?
It would have violated that guy's NDA if I assume he signed it. But in addition to that, a lot of it, because it was over Skype, a lot of us had our real names in there. Whereas at that time, I was only going by Merrick. That's it. So no one knew my real name. Okay. And so Richard Lewis, he got to the point where he started reaching out to us individually on Skype and calling us or just in DMs on Reddit and calling us by our actual names. Wow. And like threatening to DDoS us, DDoS. That's not threatening to expose our actual data. Why am I blanking on the word for that? People are screaming at their headphones what that's called.
Doxing?
Dox. Yeah.
Like,
that's the term.
Like, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Yeah. And so, he threatened to dox all of us and whatnot. And so what ended up happening was because of that, and it's a violation of Reddit's terms of service, not just our subreddit, we banned him from our subreddit. And then in addition to that, the Reddit moderators IP banned him from Reddit. He could not have an account on Reddit. Period.
Wow.
And so he messed around and found out. It was an interesting time. And it was a really weird setup. So there was that. And then there was another part where people were like, man, you guys have way too many rules, blah, 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 blah. And so there was like, we decided as an experiment, we're like, okay, well, we're going to have a week where the only thing we enforce is Reddit's rules, not even our subreddit rules. And so we only got rid of stuff that violated Reddit's guidelines, because if moderators don't moderate at least to Reddit's rules, you can lose control of the subreddit altogether. Like, they will kick all of your moderators out and install new ones. And so that was complete and utter chaos. Like, stuff on the subreddit, like the front page had next to nothing to do with League of Legends during that week. Like there was a picture of a loaf of bread that made it to the front page, and like just stuff, just random stuff. And we're, and so obviously there were a lot of people that just thrive on chaos and they loved it. But most people we would get like, I don't know, a dozen times an hour, we'd get mod mail messages saying, please come back, please stop this early, please, because we told them, we'd made an announcement, we're like, we're gonna do this for a week, have fun. And yeah, it
did,
was
did you get
it was
what
an interesting experience. I don't even know what I wanted to get out of it. I played League of Legends a lot, and so I wanted to be more, I guess, a bigger part of the community. And it was an interesting experience, because collaborating with different moderators who had different ideas on what the what our moderation should be, regardless of what the rules said. And so trying to rein people in, be like, yeah, no, you got rid of that, but that didn't break our rules. And so, yeah, it was weird. It was an experience, and trying to collaborate with that many, like we had like 20 or 30 moderators. I can't remember now, but we had a ton of moderators, and there it has millions of subs to that channel.
I so. Got you. Yeah. At any given time, was the minimum moderators there two or three?
Five. Unless it was like the dead of the night.
Okay.
There would maybe in the dead of the night, two or three. But
did you ever work did you ever pull that graveyard shift?
No, we didn't have like shifts that we did. It was just when you were available.
You never hit the level three there.
I think you're trying to make some kind of reference, but I don't get it.
Well, I mean, cause if you had, it made perfect sense. While your favorite book is the Book of Three. That's it, everybody. Thank you, Mike. Take us home tonight.
Nerdy Dads on social media. Charles at Rock God of Podcasting. Joe at Joseph_Ard. Check out the website, wiseandnerdy.com. And as always, they may not be your father, but they'll always be your daddy.
And check out Mike Woodard. Via by Kerr. We'll be back next week. And my boy Sin Raven always knows, Hulk Smash!